In the book of Ruth, please. I'm going to do what I've been doing for the last 3 or 4 weeks. You'll read the same portion. Amen. Chapter 1, 1 through 5. Please, let's stand. And let's read it again. We might be able to quote this before it's over with by memorization. The Bible said it tonight in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of the wife, Naomi, and the name of the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. You can be seated. And let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom tonight. Help us to understand these things. And Lord, help us to apply them to our heart, not just to be hearing words, but tonight may we find them in our heart. And Lord, may they find a lodging place in our soul that we might walk after the precepts of Your Word. Thank You tonight that we have the privilege to study the Word of God together. And I pray, Lord, that we might understand this a little bit better than we did. We come in, we give You the praise and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the course of studying the book of Ruth and starting on it, God gave me these thoughts, and I've added to this too what we was starting in, and just kind of got a little back setting back on it a little bit. And I thought about these characters. And last week, you remember we studied about Elimelech. And I used it as a thought tonight, Bethlehem, Judah, that's the place of bread or the house of bread and praise. And I wanted to associate that with the church. And taking these characters, there are 7 of them, particularly in the book of Ruth. And of these 7 characters, we know tonight that every one of them has got a different meaning to their name. And last week we studied Elimelech. Does anybody remember what his name means? My God is King. And I studied about a little bit and gave you a few thoughts about what he's a type of, what kind of a person that you associate with in the church that you've seen and dealt with, and I'll do that tonight with some of these other characters. And I pray that they might help you. We won't get into real detail with all these. We do, we get so tied down and hung to it, we'll never get out of the book of Ruth. But I want to give you a few thoughts that God give me in studying these together. Now remember the story, Elimelech's left Bethlehem because there's a famine. I told you last week that the problem was not with Bethlehem, really. The problem was not with the famine. The problem was not with Moab. But the problem was with Elimelech. And he being the head of the household, he had the responsibility of making the choices. And God will hold him accountable and did hold him accountable for being down in Moab. I also said that there's a possibility that Naomi could have been maybe an instigator in some of it. I don't know that. You can't read in between the scriptures. But if she was, we know tonight that Elimelech was still the head of the household and still in charge. And you got to remember that. That's the order that God has that in His church and in our lives. But tonight we realize that the husband and the wife, Elimelech and Naomi, went down there and carried 2 children with them. So I'll title the message tonight something like this, Fruits of Backsliding. And we're going to talk about it in a sense that what I'm going to say tonight is going to be the fruits of the backsliding of Elimelech. Now the Bible said in verse number 3, the Bible said in verse number 2 that they had 2 sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Now Mahlon, M-A-H-L-O-N, means simply sickly. You remember me giving you that in one of the previous lessons. Mahlon means sickly. Now, how we associate that tonight? Well, have you ever seen any sick church members? And I'm not talking about physically necessarily. Amen. We've got a lot of sick church members. Would you agree with that tonight? Amen. I want to clear up some things. We'll look at some scriptures, and I pray that the Lord might have His will and His way as we look at these things in just a moment. But I want us to turn over into the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7 to get a background so that we have somewhere to go with this and kind of let you see what's happened already in the first chapter of the book of Ruth. Deuteronomy chapter 7, this is the law, and it's laid out before them. And the Bible said in the 7th chapter, we're going to deal with the first 7 verses, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, he's talking to the Israelites now, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. He said, 7 nations greater and mightier than thou. In other words, God said, when you come in that land, I've cast them out. He said in verse 2, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. You see what God's saying? Why is God saying that? He does not want them to have no association with them. He does not want anything in their life to rub over and come over into their life. That's exactly what God's trying to get them to do. In verse number 3, he said, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Now you're going to begin to see now what happened to Elimelech. He brought his children from down out of Bethlehem, Judah. They got into Moab, and guess what they did? They married Moabitish women. He said, thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Here's why God said, I don't want you to do that. For they will turn away thy son from what? Following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. Now what did he say? God said, I'll take you out if I have to. Now would you say tonight in Ruth chapter 1 that God has kept his word to Deuteronomy chapter 7? He's taken Elimelech off the scene simply because he disobeyed God and put his children in a place. Now let me tell you something. It was not Mahlon and Chilion's problem. Well, it was a problem with them, but I'm saying it was not their integrity, and it was not tonight their ambition to do this. Amen. They were put in that position. Now get that fixed in your mind, or we're going to miss what I'm going to talk about. Verse 5, but thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number. Matter of fact, he doesn't say they were smaller than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. So God chose him, and he wanted him to be holy, for he was holy. Now, God has laid it out there. So now, going back to the book of Ruth and thinking about Mahlon for a minute, that word means sickly. In other words, he was a sick child or a sick boy. Matter of fact, I said when coming down there that had to at least be teenage size. That's only down there in 10 years, or 10 years is all they stayed in Moab. And the course of Moab, those 10 years, these boys married, so they had to be, 10, 15, 10, 12, 14, 15, before they got there, somewhere in that area, for them to get old enough to marry. And there they were. They've come down to that land. That word, Mahlon, means sickly. In other words, he was weak. It also meant he was not strong. Now, a sickly person's not strong. That's what his name means. So it reminds me of what I find in the churches of many times. And on top of that, we find them in coming down to Moab, which is a land that was full of false gods. It was, and they intermarried in among that. And that's wrong. And we're seeing that in America. And we're having problems with it. Amen. We're experiencing problems with that. And so we find tonight, they not only that, but they had false religions. And they got involved in those things. Now, and putting those together, let's go back and let's turn over to the book of Hebrews just for a minute. And then I want to give you some things about Mahlon. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 5, here's what we'll find about some people that we find in our churches today. I don't care where you go in America, you're going to find this group of people in every church you go to. Now, I don't know whether you want to identify with this crowd or not, or whether you want to separate yourself and say, this is not me. Or not, But I'll assure you, they're in every church in America. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are what? Dull of hearing. Our churches are filled with people who are dull of hearing. That means they can't hear good. That's not meaning a physical problem with their ears. It means that they have a spiritual problem and they're dull. In other words, they cannot comprehend. Maybe they're not listening, or maybe they can't comprehend what God is saying. Verse 12, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now what happens there? He's saying, hey, some of them have not grown in the grace and knowledge of God like they ought to. They've been in it long enough to be teachers. They ought to teach somebody, but in effect, they need to be set down and taught some more because they don't know how to do it. You understand what I'm saying? They're dull of hearing. And so we find that. Verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You see, he's not grown up in the Lord. So what happens in a church when you've got babes in the church that's been in there for 30 and 40 years? You've got a sickly church. You've got a church that's got problems. You've got a church that you're going to have a trouble with when it comes to standing for something. You're going to have a church that will have low and poor convictions. A church that don't have no convictions of sin and convictions of things in the Bible. Brothers, a church that's sickly and filled with memberships of sickly people. Amen. A type of this melon tonight. Now, he said, verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I'm fully persuaded to believe tonight that a lot of people could sit in certain churches and they'd choke to death on what the preacher was preaching because he was deeper in the Word of God than they are, and it's because they cannot comprehend it because they're still babies and they need to be on the milk and the bottle. They haven't got off of that yet and on the meat. I pray tonight that God's got you on the meat and you like the meat. Amen. Amen. I like to hear the Word of God and like to get the deep things of God. Now, amen. Don't you like that? Amen. I hope we're not in here trying to feed bottles to you and trying to get you to move and motivated. I hope that by now you at least know how to work around in the Bible just a little bit. So we think about tonight that Malon is a type of sickly people. He's one who's sick. Now, remember this. He was taken from the house of bread. Now let's give a few little types of Malon. He was taken from where? He was taken from the house of bread. He was taken to Moab. Alright, we can liken this tonight that there's a lot of families and a lot of parents have taken their children from a good, strong, fundamental, firm, Bible-preaching, Bible-believing church and put them in some little liberal places like Moab. Amen. Now that's about what's happened a lot. And they raised their children. I got onto this a little bit last Wednesday. But they've raised their children in the churches where that they're not hearing the Word of God anymore. You know what happens when you get that? Brother, they'll never grow in the grace and knowledge of God. If there's anything I believe a parent needs is to see that their kids are raised under the preaching and hear and get the admonition of the Word of God, and that they might grow in the grace of God and learn from the book, amen, what God has to say. Don't you believe that? I believe it's every man's responsibility to make sure that their children are put somewhere where they can hear the truth. Not hear some little wives' fables. Not hear somebody squirting a little rose water through the tulip patch. Amen. I believe we need to get them where the man of God can preach to them. They can hear the truth. That's what we need. Now, going from that, brother, we'll see that Malon is a type of one that's been brought from the house of bread where he should have been, where he could have got the nourishment, where he could have grown in the grace and knowledge of God, but now has been taken to a worldly church, taken to where he should not be. And guess what? He never made it. Amen. Now, he is a fruit of a backslidden parent. That's what he is. We're talking about the fruits of backsliding. So Elimelech didn't count the cost before he left and come down there. Secondly, I believe it also Malon is a type of somebody that's been invited. And you know what? There's a lot of people been invited into some dead churches. Amen. 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 We've invited them in here every once in a while. Amen. You'll catch that in a minute. Amen. But we invite them to a dead church. Invite them where they can't hear of the real truth, but they invite, and sometimes they come in, and by the way, they hear enough gospel that they'll get saved. They'll get saved. And guess what? They'll never grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. You'd be surprised at the people that are in America tonight that have gotten saved and gotten to church, and the church has not taught them and not told them what God said. You know, a lot of times we get them saved, and when they get them saved, we think that they're supposed to know everything by tomorrow. Amen. And they probably do know about as much as we do in 6 weeks. That's not saying much. We've probably not grown like we ought to grown in the Lord. But I'll tell you what, we ought to train our young folks, our young converts ought to be trained and taught and told and given the plans of God throughout the Bible, and we ought to work with them. Amen. I've also seen some dangers. Get somebody saved, they get saved, and 3 weeks later they got them in a Sunday school class somewhere teaching some. Hey, that's not good. That's not good. They got to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. And once you get them, but I believe we ought not to forget them. I believe we ought to try to put them in and get them ready. You know what we ought to be doing? See, we ought to be trying to help some of y'all tonight to get you strong enough so that you can go do something for God. Some of you decide you ain't going to do much. Amen. We'll talk to you about that a little bit in another crowd. We'll get off of that now. Malon. He's been one of those that's been invited in. And he's got in there and he can't get out. He's also like some of these that we've got that's been raised in certain churches. We've got parents that have raised their kids in certain churches, and they've died and they buried them in the cemetery. And then they come along and they had children, and they've been going, there's some that's got families that's gone to the same dead church for 75 years. I'm talking about this family has. And they wouldn't move. It don't make no difference what kind of preacher they got in the pulpit. Don't make no difference what kind of Bible he preaches out of. Don't make no difference what kind of standards he has. They can't leave. They just been hung in that. Well, I've been going all my life. I just wouldn't know. I wouldn't be comfortable going anywhere else. And they just hung in there. Listen, they're like Malon. They're sickly. They're sickly, and they're weak, and they're not strong. I believe tonight, and I say this tonight with all honesty, with all the seriousness of my heart, if the preaching of the Word of God is not being taught, and the words of God are not being preached, brother, we ought to take note of that. I don't care where it's at, and we ought to find where the Word of God's preached. It's our duty to get there. And we may not like all the the personality of the preacher, but if he's preaching the Word of God. I was at a fellow's church one day, went in to eat with him. Actually, he invited me and my wife over. We went over to eat, and she had a nice meal. It was cold one Thursday night, and I'd wore a little old jacket, and I was sitting there at his table, and he said, where's your overcoat? I said, I didn't wear one. He said, you're going to need it. I said, why? He said, we got work night at the church. And I thought, well, you invited me over here to eat. I didn't know I was going to have to work. So he took me over to the church, and he met with the men, and he was one of them. I like to help them out and work a little bit if I can. But anyhow, we went over to the church, and I was going to have to help, I thought. So he looked at one of the men. He said, take that big old cabinet off the wall right there. And so that fellow looked at me and looked at him, and he said, how do you get it off? He said, I don't know. You're the carpenter. So the preacher just walked on out and went on down to another room with somebody else. The way he said it, I thought, hey, I wouldn't appreciate that if you'd have said that to me. And so he walked out and went down through, and that little fellow looked up at me and he said, you know, he said, if it wasn't for what I know he preaches and what he stands for, he said, I'd leave this church in a heartbeat. He don't have no personality. Amen. So sometimes we don't have personality, but we gotta find out if we're preaching the Word of God. Amen. You probably wouldn't have liked John the Baptist either. You wouldn't have liked Isaiah. You wouldn't have liked Jeremiah. All of them had some kind of rare looking qualities about them. Amen. Imagine coming up one Sunday morning in camel's hair and a leathern girdle, eating locusts and wild honey, and step up on the porch, reckon what you'd think of me. You see, tonight, sometimes we gotta look at a lot of things. But I'm telling you tonight, looking at this old Malon. Malon, here he is. He's like a fellow that's been planted in the church. And he's been sit there all his life. and he's never been able to grow. He's never got out of his shell. He's never gotten a word other than just being there. He's typical of those tonight who have not grown in the Lord. He's not grown in the Lord. He's sickly. Now, he's just typical one who has started following the worldly things. Another, guess what? The most major, biggest thing in Malon's life. Stop and think about this. You didn't know it was all about that in that one little verse, did you? I'm sure some of you wondered what we're going to say about Malon. You probably wondered what we're going to say about Chilion. Now maybe we'll get there tonight. Malon, what about him? He's sitting there, and just think about him for a minute. He's done been down in Moab, and after you stay in Moab a few days, you begin to forget a little bit about Bethlehem. The longer you're in Moab, the less Bethlehem comes to your mind. And matter of fact, the last thing they heard about Bethlehem was there's a terrible famine. So a bad thing has come up about Bethlehem in their mind. So they come to Moab, and the flashing lights of Moab has changed things. And now they're in Moab, and while they're there, every day of their life, Malon and Chilion, and it was a little while before he got up to the point of death. Matter of fact, his daddy died first. And so we find that Malon, now he's been associated with these idol worshipers. He's in a strange land where they don't know the God of Bethlehem. And so now the world is beginning to have its bearing upon him. He's beginning to think like the world. He's beginning to act like the world. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to tell you is that's what happens to us in our church. The more we get our mind on the world, I don't care how it comes in, where it comes in through the eye gate, the ear, or in personal associations with the world, but the world will begin to have its bearing upon us. And we have to live crucified lives tonight to stay close to God and stay in the Bible and stay on our knees in prayer. And that's one thing I believe that Malon had lost out on. Matter of fact, I believe if his daddy ever prayed in Bethlehem, I kind of have the idea that he didn't pray much in Bethlehem or he'd have never left Bethlehem. I have a good sneaking suspicion that Elimelech didn't read his Bible enough in Bethlehem or he would have never left and went down to Moab. Understand? So now, he's not seeing his daddy read the Bible no more. He's not seeing his daddy pray no more. And Naomi, she's out of it too. And they're more particular trying to get to make ends meet and make a living and cook the biscuits and make the beds up than they are trying to get anything done spiritually. So Malon is starving to death. That's why his name is Sickly. And beloved, tonight, we do the same thing in the church. We've got to keep ourselves spiritually minded. Amen. I'll say this tonight. I watch you, and you come into this church, and I do it too, and all of us do. You know, we come in lots of time. We're talking about what happened yesterday, what happens tomorrow, what we're going to do 2 weeks from now, what we might do, what we've done 3 weeks ago, and so forth. Instead of getting our minds on God, this is the only place that I know that we can come together as a family and get our minds totally on God and get it totally off the world. That's why we sing the songs. That's why tonight it got pretty interesting tonight sitting here singing these old songs of Zion. Amen. I about decided we'd just have a singing here a while ago. Amen. Got pretty exciting to think about on a Wednesday night coming in here and feeling the touch of God and the tug of God through the songs. And hey, this is a chance for me to get the world completely off my mind. I can do that when I get my head buried down in the Word of God. I can do that when I get my head down on the floor somewhere praying. I can do that when I bow my head. I can do that when I close my eyes. But I'll tell you what, this is a place we've got set aside where we as a group of people can come together. Isn't it good to do that? We can get our mind off of everything right now. Amen. Some of you are still letting it run here and there. Amen. Some of you are thinking about your bedtime snack. Everything else. Amen. Now if you ain't, you probably will the rest of the service. Because as I reminded you. But you understand what I'm saying? The devil puts everything through your mind. But see, he does not want a people to come together in a church and get to where we're all in one mind and one spirit and of one accord and get to the place where we got one thing on our mind, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? He wants us to be sickly. He wants us to be weak. He wants us to be frail. He don't want us to be strong. Listen, this is how we get strong, is down at the house of God. Hey, this is the time we got the menu out. This is the time we got the table spread. This is the time God's feeding us. Matter of fact, He's spoon-feeding some of you right now. Amen. That's right. He feed my soul when I come to the house of God. That's what He's doing. This is God's restaurant. This is God's cafeteria. You said, I don't like the menu. Amen. Tell Him about it. Maybe He'll give you a different one Sunday. Amen. But I'll guarantee you what you got tonight is what you need. All right? Amen. Malon. Well, he's typical one who's never grown in the Lord. Now, let's look and see if we don't find some of this. Would you turn over with me tonight? You said, why? This don't have no spiritual application. Hey, the Bible's all spiritual, is it not?
Amen.
Praise God. Look at this thing. Look at 1 Corinthians. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians. I thought I was going to get these others. I may not. I thought surely we wouldn't get hung up on one of them tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30. This is concerning the Lord's Supper. I want to back up a little bit and read in verse 28, coming down to that before I get to that verse 30. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, it said, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." He's talking about the bread, which is not the body of Christ, but is symbolic of the body of Christ. And that cup, which is not the blood of Christ, but is symbolic of the blood of Christ. Now, verse 29. "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily," meaning with sin in your life, with something in there that's not confessed, something in your heart that's wrong, and God showed you it's wrong, and you know it's wrong, and you're not willing to, you know, confess it. "Eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Now look at verse 30. "For this cause many are" what?
Weak.
Isn't that what I said? Sickly, yes. Weak. And what?
Sickly.
You see that? Sickly among you, and many sleep. So by the way tonight, sickly is a Bible term. Is it not? Right there, ain't it? So we know tonight, Malon, he was named means sickly. And God said, hey, we need to be careful about those things. He was weak. Look with me tonight. Talk about that word weak for a moment. Go to Romans chapter 14. This might just knock a knot on your head. Just to think about sometime we get so hung out on things. And oh boy, I'll tell you what, I've seen a lot of stuff in the years of preaching. Romans chapter 14. Look at verse number 1. "Him that is weak in" what?
"In
the faith." Now we can be weak in the faith. If we're weak in the faith, we're sickly, are we not? If our faith is weak, we're sick. Hey, you didn't know it's a bunch of sick folks over here. We are, spiritually. He said, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye." He said for us, if there's one is weak in the faith, receive him. But not to doubtful disputations. In other words, not to make, you know, be doubtful about or to be critical of and so forth. Look at verse 2. "For one believeth that he may eat all things." Most of us believe that, I guess. "Another who is weak eateth herbs." I got to think about this bunch that eats herbs all the time. And God said they're just weak. And if you eat herbs all the time, I'd understand why you're weak. Amen. You eat a pork chop every now and then, it'll put some meat on your bones. You won't be as weak. He said, "Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received." Now what God is saying here is simply, whatever you eat, don't you get the place that whatever you're eating, don't be critical of somebody else because they're eating something else besides what you're eating. And don't you think somebody to think that you're setting the standard and you've got the right proper diet. I got news for you. Everybody in here eats different than I do. I can fix up some conglomeration sometimes. My wife looks at me and says, "I don't see how you eat that." And sometimes I see her eat, you know, she'll take a sausage biscuit and put jelly on top of the biscuit and the sausage and ruin it. Now, I'd just soon have the sausage biscuit and then get me a biscuit and put some jelly in it and eat it secondly. Amen. But now, she ain't got no business trying to set me what the standard is. And there ain't nobody in here eating correctly yet. You may think you are. Amen. Some of you eating a bunch of stuff you don't like, and I do that all the time. But every now and again, brother, I feel like a hog at the hog trough. That's when I do get something good to eat, son. I eat it. It's good. And I brag about it, and I moan and groan while I'm eating. But what he's saying here, some of you are weak, and you're weak in these things. And beloved, tonight I'm trying to tell you that the church folks can get weak in their doctrines. They can get weak in their faith. They can get weak in their standards. They can get weak in their morals. They can get weak in what they believe. And so we need to be strong in the Lord. Amen. Now turn to Romans chapter 15 and verse number 1. Romans 15:1 said, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." Hey, that means today, if I'm strong, I'm to try to help you along. Is that right? You know what happens? Instead of trying to help somebody along in the church that's weak, what we do is we are critical of them. Oh, so-and-so. Well, he'd just grow up and take his stand like God wanted. Listen, he's not going to do it like that. You know what? Oh, one of the deacons told me one time in the church, I said, "Let's get out and pray. Let's get out and pray and repent." I mean, first church I'd ever pastored, first time I'd ever had any encounter with deacons. First time, boy, what a battle. First encounter. I'd seen deacons all my life in church, but I'd never had to be the referee. But that morning, brother, I was not only the referee, but I was the coach and everything else. And I said, "All right." I said, "I want you to take the floor, brother." And he said, "All right." He got up and he said, "What I want us to do at this church," he said, "I've been burdened about it. I want us to get together every Sunday afternoon, and all the deacons and their wives and the pastor and his wife, we're going to start going out and visiting, and we're going to visit a family or two. And then the next Sunday we'll switch around and go to this, and we're just going to work this community over." And I seen one sitting back there like this. And I thought, what in the world? Well, this guy's doing something right. Well, we just stand there for a little bit more and I look at it, and I noticed it seemed like this was getting red in the face. And I don't know where his lip had got pooched out like she sings about. And guess what? I said to him, "Minute," I said, "Well, what's wrong?" And that fellow looked at me and he said, "I'm chairman board of deacons here. I've always been chairman board of deacons and I'll always be chairman board of deacons. And you put him up there and he's not a chairman." Amen. I never went to another church but what I didn't find out who the chairman was first. And so I said, "All right." So I done seen he's all messed up. Oh, we done messed up a good service. I'd got through preaching. We was fixing to go home and just about messed up my dinner. Anyhow, what I said, "Let's get down and pray. We need to get down and pray." Boy, that one deacon is up there making the statement, and he is trying to get us to visit. He done fell down on the floor. He done got off his knees. He is laying on the floor and his head up under a chair. And he's crying out, "Oh, God," tears coming out of his eyes. He's serious. And a couple more deacons over there, they done kind of got down one knee on the floor and one about like he's about ready to take off just a little bit and they're gone. And one over there was praying. He was seeking the face of God and there set them too and found out later they were brother-in-laws. And so I said to him, I said, "Let's pray. Fellas, get on your knees. Just get on down on your knees and let's pray." I found out that's the wrong thing to do. Don't ever make nobody get down on their knees. Amen. I said to him, I said, "Let's get on." He said, "I ain't got no reason to get down there. I ain't done nothing wrong." And I thought, "Oh, Lord, okay." And then the other said, I'll tell you one thing, preacher. Now listen, I ain't been there long. I ain't had no problems. I'm trying to get the church going. He says to me, he jumps up and he says, you lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. That's right. And so he told me that. And I listened. Amen. So we prayed. We prayed. And we got out of there. And needless to say, we didn't get no visitation program started for a long time. You understand what I'm saying? Just because of that. And I'm saying to you tonight, what we do is, you can't make people get down. I can't make you pray. Amen. I can tell you ought to. I can tell you you should. I can give you the space to do it. I can tell you, hey, you ought to pray and seek the face of God, but I can't make you pray. Amen. I might even get you to bow your head. I might get you to shut your eyes. I might even get you to move your lips, but I can't make you pray from your heart. But I tell you what, I know a God in heaven that can. He can go to squeezing on the inside. He can put you on your knees. And so I'll pray about that tonight. Listen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we'll finish up this one, and then I'll come back. You're going to have to try to wonder what we're going to say about Chilion next week. I thought we'd get both of them boys tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. The Bible said, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. See, he talks a lot in the Bible about somebody that's weak. He mentions it lots of times in the Word of God. And he goes on down through it. Matter of fact, verse 10, for if any man see thee which hast not his sit at the meal in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols, and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, see, they can have a weak conscience. You sin against God, or sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Now, Paul's given us quite a bit here. Turn over tonight in 1 Thessalonians. In the book of 1 Thessalonians. Let's turn over there and see what God has to say. And I'll give you something else there. I believe it'll be a blessing as we look at it. Let me find it right quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 14. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 said, now we exhort you, brethren. Now he gives us, I think, four things here. Warn them that are unruly. That's what the preacher does. Amen. When you find a church member's unruly, you warn him. And he said, comfort the feeble-minded. Most of the time, the preacher's having to do a lot of comforting. You'll catch on why after a while. Support the weak. That means you're to help them. You're to back them up. You're to stand by them. Sometimes we have to put our arm around them and tell them things that normally you'd say, well, I wish they'd grow up. And you may have, hey, have you ever put your arm around some of you youngins and said, listen, I'm going to tell you this one more time, son or daughter. And then you leave them and you say, I wish they'd catch them. They just can't seem to get that. Amen. So you just have to support them. And then it said the last one, be patient toward all men. Hard to do, but we're going to be patient. There's a sermon right there, the four things that as a child of God were to do. Some heavy, heavy equipment right there. Amen. All right. Guess why Malon is a type of a saint here, sickly and weak. He's a type of one. Sum it up tonight. Sum it up. I got my Bible shut. Sum it up. Why? Why is he sickly? Why is he a type of a sickly person? Because he's a type of church member who does not read his Bible, does not pray, and seek the face of God. Now you let your Bible reading go down, you let your prayer life get short, and you'll find yourself looking like the world. Amen. You'll start living like Moab if you're in Moab. Egypt if you're in Egypt. The world if you're in the world. You'll be on the front row of the pew of the church, going every time the doors is open, and become weak in the Lord. Amen. All right, we'll just stop right there. We'll talk about Chilion next week. I thought surely we'd get three people tonight. I believe we've Picked up a few things out about Malon tonight. Amen? Yeah. There's a lot more in there than you think there are. I like it when the Bible comes together, you know. It's not just a little spot here and there. The Bible's together. It's a book. As I said Sunday morning, it's a 2-volume book. Amen. Let's stand. Maybe you need to pray. Maybe you need to come to the altar. Come on, do it right now. It'd be a good time to come.